Well, all right then, here we go once again. Time for American Radio, 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. I'm Tom Ryan. I love your wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here as well, as always. And thank you for tuning in. Maybe you have some idea about what's about to happen. Because on Wednesdays, we call the show How Music Changed. We go take deep dives into specific aspects of the history of music. Famous artists or famous studios or famous movements and music things that may have happened. Putting them all together. There's 250 of them. That's a lot to cover. Especially when we're going deep. And right now we are on a series dedicated to Jimi Hendrix. And it seems like we've just begun, but we're already up to part six. Just last week, we finally got to play his debut album. We played the European version of Are You Experienced? The thing that set the European album apart from the American album is that the American album included three singles. They were not on the British version. So after the release, though, of the album, Are You Experienced, in England, the press pretty much went berserk. I mean, Jimmy was a completely unknown and unexpected entity, and he became the darling of the British press almost overnight, and also the focus of just about every British musician. So this show captures Hendrix at what might qualify as maybe the high point of his, not only his career, but maybe his entire life, because things really never got better for Jimmy than all of a sudden getting this, all this sudden adulation and praise and recognition for the being maybe, not maybe, but almost definitely the most talented guitarist in the world at that time, for, or the most inventive, I suppose, is the least you could say. So with all of the fervor regarding Are You Experienced, it was in around the same time that he started to, that he planned to release the group's third single with a song called The Wind Cries Mary. Now, in America, we know it as part of the album, but in Europe, it was only a single. So the song continued a remarkable run of chart successes across Europe. That was recorded at the tail end of the session for Fire, Chaz Chandler, Jimmy's manager, explained. We had about 20 minutes or so left, because in them days, I would book 2 hours, and that was it. I suggested that we cut a demo of The Wind Cries Mary. Jimmy and Noel, the band members, hadn't even heard it, so they were going at it without a rehearsal. They played it through once, and I remember saying that I really liked the feel of the song. Jimmy came back in and said, I have a good idea for an overdub. So he went back in and played between, as he called it, the notes that he had already recorded. He didn't even come back into the control room after we put the second guitar part on, and he then said, I have another idea. Can I put that on too? In all, he put on something like 4 or 5 overdubs, but the whole thing was done in 20 minutes. Because that was our third single. I don't see how you could possibly have done it in 20 minutes, but Chaz Chandler was the manager, and he was there in the studio, and those are his words. And here is the A-side of the third Jimi Hendrix Experience single, The Wind Cries Mary.
After all the jets are in the boxes, and the clowns have all gone to bed, you can hear happiness staggering on down the street. Footprints dressed in red, and the wind whispers Mary. A broom is drearily of the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping.
cries very.
Phenomenal. So he has an album under his belt. And this is an interesting story that I read in Wiki about that actual, about the album itself, since we played it in its entirety last week. It's a good time to talk about exactly what they had gone through when it was going to be handed over to the record label. Chas Chandler remembers distinctly that they were in the studio, Olympic Studios, and they had finished the final mix at 3 o'clock in the morning on April 25. So Chandler had agreed to audition the finished LP for the head of Polydor, head of the A&R team, a guy by the name of Horst Schmaltz, at 11 a.m. So he only had a few hours of sleep, and he put together the acetate demo and traveled to Polydor. So this is Chandler's words now. He goes, as Horst started to put the needle on the record, I broke out in a cold sweat, thinking, when he hears this, he's going to order the men in white coats to take me away. Horst played the first side through and did not say a single word. Then he turned the disc over and played the other side. I started to thinking about how I was going to have to talk my way out of this. At the end of the second side, he just sat there. Finally, he said, this is brilliant. This is the greatest thing I've ever heard. So Horst immediately became an ardent supporter of the album and the band, championing the marketing and the distribution of their debut LP. And Chas Chandler needn't have worried as much as he did. Every A-side has a B-side. And the B-side of The Wind Cries Mary is a song called Highway Child. Now, normally, since it was only a B-side of a single, it was released in mono, but it has subsequently been released in a box set in a stereo mix. So here is the stereo mix of the B-side of The Wind Cries Mary. Here's Highway Child.
Been so long, it's a sin. He left home.
There you go. I think they were happy with that take on the B-side of the single. Now, that same day, it was April 4th, 1967, and the album wasn't out yet at this point in time when they're in the studio doing this, but this next track was actually under very serious consideration to be added to the album. It's a song that was inspired by B.B. King. I think that we played a version of this back in the pre-Jimi Hendrix days when he was a session man with a song called Here He Comes, Your Lover Man. But in this instance, it's an instrumental version of the song that didn't quite make the album. But here is that track, Here He Comes, Lover Man. That track was not even released at that time. In fact, it took 30 years for it to get released, if not more, before it got heard. Here He Comes, Lover Man. Now, that was in April of 1967. By May, he's still in London, and he's starting to work on his second album. Still hasn't come back to America. America knows none of this stuff. America still knows nothing about Jimi Hendrix, really, at all. His singles really didn't chart much above like number 60 in America. One of them didn't even reach the charts at all. So he's still concentrating exclusively on England. And he's working on a second album. And he came up with this idea of a song about a local British tavern and the bartender basically being trying to get somebody out of his shop, kicking him out, probably for being drunk or something. And Jimmy's playing the guy who's getting kicked out. And he had a roadie come in and do the voice of the bartender. And they had to do the take like 3 or 4 times because they kept cracking up. They couldn't do it and keep a straight face. So this is one of the times where Jimmy finally like began to like script it out so they could actually like, you know, get it down and get through it. The song is called Taking Care of No Business, recorded in early May of 1967.
Get out, you bum! We don't want your kind in here anymore!
Laying in the alleyway, maybe some rich fool will come my way and throw me a dime. That's all I need to give me more wine. All I got is to my name is a beat up guitar with 3 broken strings. And I sure know I just ain't taking care of no business. Look at here. Hey, kitty cat, where are you going? This part of the alley is my home. Walking all over outside my wall. Boy, you sure got a whole lot of gall. I had a sandwich in a paper bag, but a rat stole it. Ain't that some drag? Lord, I know. I sure ain't taking care of no business. Play the horn. Washing down hogs, but that meant standing up all the time, and standing up to me is just like dying. I'm so lazy that I could cry, but tears are just too lazy to fall out my eyes. Lord, 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 I'm so messed up. Play it one more time. Yeah. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I sure wish I had me a sandwich. Anything. I'm so broke, I can't even pay attention. Lord, I'm so poor, I couldn't even give you the time.
That's another track that didn't see release for decades, maybe 4 decades. On that exact same day, in early May, Jimmy recorded this track, which would eventually be edited and cut up and released as part of Axis Bold as Love. This is the full recording, though, with different guitar and vocal parts before it was mixed for the album. And you might be interested to know that the percussion on this track is done by Gary Walker and none other than Graham Nash, as they're like pounding on the floor to get the sound that they want. The track, I think you're going to recognize it, although it's a little bit longer in this version, is called If 6 Was 9. ¶¶
sing's over.
If the sun refuses to shine, I don't mind. I don't mind.
Yeah.
If the mountains fell in the sea, let it be. It ain't me. Yes. Now if a six turned out to be nine, oh, I don't mind. Oh, I don't mind.
All right.
If all the hippies cut off all their hair, oh, I don't care. Oh, I don't care. Finish yet, brother.
Nice.
Got more to say. White collar conservative flashing down the street, pointing their plastic finger at me. They're hoping soon my kind will drop and die, but I'm gonna wave my free flag high. Oh! Just don't fall on me. Go ahead on, Mr. Businessman. You can't dress like me. Yeah. My life the way I want to. There. Sing on, brother. Play on, drum. Yeah.
If Six Was Nine. There's like an early version. Well, it's not so much an early version of it as it's the unedited version of it. About a week later, Jimmy got this idea about another song. Now, he's working at Olympic Studios. Chaz Chandler is doing all the production. Eddie Kramer is doing the engineering. And he's in Olympic Studios, and he sees the equipment that they have, and one of the things in the studio is a harpsichord. He doesn't know how to play the harpsichord, but he's obsessed by it. He said he's going to walk over. He said, I want to try doing something with this. So he starts coming up with an idea, and they record it. It's a very short segment, but it's something that you'll eventually recognize as a song that would be played a number of times live. In fact, we're going to hear a full-length version of it in a few minutes later on in the show. And also, of course, a studio version that would eventually be released on Jimmy's third album. But here he is fooling around in the studio with this track. I think you'll recognize it as soon as he gets into it.
Wait, let me just do one more time, okay?
Okay.
Amazing is that. I mean, he can make a harpsichord rock. That's just unbelievable. Of course, the song would eventually become Burning of the Midnight Lamp. Want to remind you that you're listening to 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD. The show is American Hit Radio, and it's Tom and Heidi Ryan here, me talking, Heidi running the board. Did I not say Garden City, New York? I never say that, but I just did. So that's where we're coming from. And, of course, we're in the middle of our series on Jimi Hendrix. And we're at this is a very interesting turning point right here, because now we're going to move into the Summer of Love, June of 1967. On June 1st of 1967, an album was released. You might have heard of it. It was called Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by a band called The Beatles. Yeah, that came out on June 1st, 1967, just as Jimi Hendrix's own debut album had beat it by just maybe a couple of weeks. And at that time, now Jimmy's, like I said, he's a superstar in England, and he has a show at the Seville Theater on June 4th, literally 72 hours after the Beatles released the album, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And Jimmy comes out on stage at the Seville Theater, and he plays Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band for the audience. I mean, most people didn't even get a chance to buy the record or even, you know, hear it yet. Jimmy took it, learned it, got the lyrics down, plays the whole thing, and teaches his band to do it as an opening track. This is like, most of the audience, who basically, when he opened their set with his own version of the album's title and track, and it brought to the audience. Now, by the way, Paul McCartney and George Harrison were in the audience. They were flabbergasted. their jaws fell to their, you know, to the ground. I mean, McCartney later described Jimmy's version as simply incredible, perhaps the best that I had ever seen him play. Now, sadly, that version wasn't recorded. But Jimmy did go on tour, and he did occasionally play the song when he was on tour. So he did a show in Sweden a couple of months later where he does his version of that song. So we're going to play that now, and we're going to segue that into a live version of the track we just played the segment of, because now Jimmy is performing Burning of the Midnight Lamp live in his shows, although it's not released yet. And he's also performing his, like spectacular version of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So here they are, those two tracks, live in Sweden, back to back.
Thank you very much. Well, I did do a latest release of a thing called Burning the Midnight Lamp. It was the first time we ever did it in front of people. Come on.
that same old fireplace. Get ready for the same old explosion going through my mind. It's soon enough, time will tell about the circus and the wishing well. And someone will buy and sell for me.
Amazing, don't you think? Now, I have to confess here that I'm taking a little bit of a jump chronologically. But I'm trying very hard to stick to a tight chronology with this series so you get a real sense of growth. But it would be right at this point, really, before actually those two tracks, where I would be covering Jimi Hendrix and his return to America with his performance at Monterey. I'm not doing that right now because what I want to do is I want to dedicate the entire show next week to Jimmy's performance at the Monterey Pop Festival. So we will be hearing that in its entirety next week from beginning to end. And I figured rather than mess it up and cut it in half and do half now and half then, I can maybe just jump to post Monterey when Jimmy's travels back to England and starts working on his second album. And, two tracks that he was working on more or less simultaneously that were started as instrumentals was a song called Angel and another song called Little Wing. And there was actually, at first there was some confusion because the songs seemed to have, although they didn't sound alike, they seemed like thematically like they were some, maybe even the same song. So people didn't know which ones were which and what to call them. And when Jimmy wrote these tracks, they were pretty hard hitting. He's pretty aggressive and he's playing the song really hard. And again, it was Chaz Chandler as a producer with Eddie Kramer as the engineer. And Kramer said that he watched Chaz Chandler. I can't tell you how important he was to helping Jimmy. All the stories that you hear. Chaz Chandler heard the song and he said, you know what? If you slowed it down and chilled it out, it would be a whole lot better. And eventually Jimmy would take his advice and it became one of the highlights, maybe the best song on his second album. But this is what it sounded like before any of us, before that second album version was recorded, Jimmy just coming up with his instrumental ideas, the chord arrangement and such for the song Little Wing. That was take one. And I think the famous version that ended up on the second album, Axis Bald as Love, was like take three or take four. But after Chaz had a little talk with Jimmy about chilling it out a bit. Well, I want to mention our website, because if you're digging this series, I mean, this is part six. One through five was pretty awesome. I'm not, you know, bragging on the series itself. I'm bragging on Jimmy, because this is an amazing series. So you should check it out if you can. That's AmericanHitNetwork.com. Now, in one of those early shows, we played Jimmy before he was famous. When he went to England, he ended up going to France as a warm-up act for a guy named Johnny Hallyday. And the audience was decent to him. And it was one of his first live performances. So here it is a year later, to the date, actually. In 1967, he goes back to France and he records and he performs these two songs as part of his shows. These are were two-track recordings. They're not the highest quality, but they're pretty awesome. And you get to hear Jimmy talking about how, now instead of him being a warm-up guy for Johnny Hallyday, now he's got 15,000 people screaming at him because everybody knows how fantastic he is. The first track is The Wind Cries Mary, which we started our show with earlier, and then a version of Catfish Blues. Hope you enjoy it, and we'll see you next week.
This guitar is no more good. Do you want it? We're having a little bit of trouble, so if you just hold on 1 minute, all right? And everything will be okay. We'd like to do the song in The Wind Cries Mary that we released here not too long ago, okay? I'd like to do it for you, okay? Let's say we're having a little first anniversary thing today. I'd like to say thank you very much for last year for letting us play here. Instead of booing us off the stage, you gave us a chance, so thank you very much. That's my little tap dance step. Okay, here we go, The Wind Cries Mary. I'm sorry for the delay. Here we go. After all the jacks are in the boxes and the clowns have all gone to bed, you can hear happiness staggering on down the street. Footprints dressed in red, and the wind that whispers weary. Drearily sweeping of the broken pieces of yesterday's life. Somewhere a queen is weeping. Somewhere a king has no wife. And the wind it cries very. They turn a blue tomorrow, shine emptiness down on my bed. The tiny islander says downstream, 'cause the life I live is dead. And the wind that whispers fear. Remember the names it has blown in the past. And with its crutch, its old age, and its wisdom, and it whispers no, this.
this will be the last. And when it cries, bury. One second to do something, okay? Yeah, have you heard of Mississippi? Have you heard of Muddy Waters? Yeah. How about John Lee Hooker? Yeah. Give me an A. So we had to do this little blues, mix it on with our own kind of way. We had to do it our own way, the experience way, right? And it goes something like this here.
Yeah. For the faces. I'm